Our first scripture lesson this morning is Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. More than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And now for our second scripture reading, we want to have a video to show you what it was like in this day and age, to give you a sense of God's presence during this scripture reading. So let's watch and see what it was like for them in those days. And let's turn the lights down up here.
The teacher's here and is asking for you.
When Mary heard this, she got up and hurried out to meet him. Jesus had not yet arrived in the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. The people who were in the house with Mary, comforting her, followed her when they saw her get up and hurry out. They thought that she was going to the grave to weep there. Mary arrived where Jesus was, and as soon as she saw him, she fell at his feet.
Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.
Jesus saw her weeping. And he saw how the people with her were weeping also. His heart was touched, and he was deeply moved.
Where have you buried him?
Come and see, Lord.
Jesus wept. See how much he loved him, the people said. But some of them said, he gave sight to the blind man, didn't he? Could he not have kept Lazarus from dying? Deeply moved once more, Jesus went to the tomb, which was a cave with a stone placed at the entrance.
Take the stone away.
There will be a bad smell, Lord. He has been buried 4 days.
Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believed?
They took the stone away. Jesus looked up.
I thank you, Father, that you listen to me. I know that you always listen to me. But I say this for the sake of the people here, so that they will believe that you sent me.
after he had said this, he called out in a loud voice,
"Lazarus! Come out!"
He came out. His hands and feet wrapped in grave clothes, and with a cloth round his face.
Untie him and let him go.
Many of the people who had come to visit Mary saw what Jesus did, and they believed in him.
Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God. So do you have any regrets? Do you ever say, if only I had done this, or if only I had done that? Especially when you are suffering, or if you have caused some suffering. We tend to say, if only, don't we? When my brother committed suicide, I think for months on end, my mind kept saying, if only I had called him that day. If only I had been able to do something to stop him from doing that. So I know regret very well. In the book, The Problem of Pain, C.S. Lewis said, "Try to exclude the possibility of suffering, which the order of nature and the existence of free will involves, and you find that you have excluded life itself." Suffering is a part of life. Life is suffering and life is joy. Darkness and light mixed together. Sometimes at the same time, like the pain and the joy in childbirth that we know. Suffering and yet joy can be at the same time. But through it all, God is present. To trust in that presence is to have a happier, healthier life and attitude also. If you believe God is present and on your side and that God cares for you, that has a huge effect on how you function in life and how you live your life in hope. Science confirms this. We are shaped by our thoughts and by what we believe about ourselves and about God. Paul said, "Fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right," in my favorite scripture, Philippians 4:8. The words think, thought, and mind are used hundreds of times in the Bible. The writer of Proverbs 23:7 states, "As he thinks, so he is." In other words, if you think of God being in and through and with you always, like a loving, caring force field around you, then you are practicing the presence of God in a spiritually and physically healthy way every day. Look at our banner, for instance. Didn't it turn out beautiful? It's just so amazing how well this turned out with all of your beautiful designs. It's an inspiring image, I think, of hope and faith in God. And it's so wonderful to see the amazing creativity that all of our church family has created. So after the service, if you have time, come up and see it closer. The Spirit was definitely present here with us last Sunday as you designed these pieces that represent the things you want to lift up to God during this Lenten season. One that really stands out for me is the word trust. You see trust boldly printed in one of them. Trust is that basic underneath foundation for all healthy relationships. When we lose trust for someone, our relationship deteriorates, and that loss of trust can affect your whole life. A child depends on their parents for their basic needs. When their parents fail to keep them safe and provide for their basic needs, then the damage from that lost trust is carried into adulthood and into the adult expectations they have for their friends, for the world, and for our Creator God. Those who generally have a distrust of people often distrust God, too. Freud believed that our need to feel protected, provided for, and loved drives us to project onto the universe a belief that in the cosmos there must be a kind and loving father image, he says. But when we are not protected, not provided for, and not loved by significant others during our development, then we question the presence or even the existence of God. This explains why some people who have low levels of trust are atheists. And people with low self-esteem often question God's existence too. They feel unworthy and often don't trust God's love for them, since they feel less fortunate and less blessed than others. That is a dark feeling. But when you trust that God is merciful and loving, your view of others and of the world tends to be more light and more positive. That mutual trust with God enhances your life with belief in a loving presence that helps you cope with hard times. It helps you be able to see that light in the midst of the darkness. Now, during Martha's time of mourning over the death of her brother Lazarus, as we saw in the film, she said to Jesus, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." Now, even though her brother was already dead, Martha still had hope in Jesus, and she turned to him for help. Both Mary and Martha separately say this to Jesus two times if you read it in the scriptures. If only you had been here. But that is deep trust, isn't it? They had no doubt that Jesus would have saved Lazarus. So when he showed up too late, why don't they say, "Okay, don't bother to come with us to the grave. Lazarus is already dead. There's nothing you can do. Forget it. All is lost." But they don't say that, do they? Their trust is too deep for that. They don't know what to expect of Jesus now, but they trust he will do something. Martha expected Jesus still to do something. And so he does. Jesus weeps. Now, this video of the scripture kind of skips by that, but the fact that Jesus weeps is a very big deal. This is the first time that it shows in the scriptures that Jesus wept. And that's the shortest scripture in the whole Bible, the shortest verse. He shows the depth of his love for all of them by joining them in their sorrow. Weeping with someone is one of the most intimate and compassionate ways to show your support and empathy. Jesus wept to show God's care for all of humanity when we suffer. Jesus weeps with us. When we are weeping at the bedside of our loved ones in hospice, Jesus weeps when we discriminate, neglect, and offend others. Jesus weeps when we don't take care of the earth. And I'm sure Jesus is weeping today because God's global children are suffering, especially in Syria and in South Sudan. 5 million South Sudanese people are starving today. 5 million due to war and the famine that has resulted. That's like losing all the men, women, and children in this whole Bay Area, all of them. I believe God is weeping because war and famine is not God's intention for the world when God created the world. God set the world in motion and gave us humans the stewardship of the earth. God gave us the purpose to work together to stop violence from ravaging God's creation. And we are to prevent our fragile little blue planet from being warmed and contaminated beyond habitability. NASA is actually having to look for other planets that are habitable because NASA is worried this Earth will not be habitable after the next 50 years or so. Currently, we are losing ground, literally, due to global warming. God has a lot to weep about these days. But the work of God doesn't stop with weeping. In this case with Lazarus, Jesus wept and then called out to Lazarus to rise. He raised him from the dead as a preview to his own resurrection that is about coming up soon on Easter Sunday. But he also showed them God's glory and power over death to reassure them that with God, nothing is impossible. And we can rise too. We rise every time we answer God's call to build up the kingdom of God with peace, love, and harmony. We rise every time we keep burning the light of hope and don't give up helping those in need, even though they may seem so desperate. We rise when we listen and learn sincerely from those who look different or have a non-Christian faith, so we can understand our global family better. Now, high school student Sarah Harrison from Connecticut had peace and harmony in mind when she rose up and won the Google's Doodle contest. And this is her winning image. I don't know if you saw it last week on Google. Her winning image was created for the theme, What I See for Our Future. So she has a very positive light about her. Sarah said, "My future is a world where we can all learn to love each other, despite our religion, gender, race, ethnicity, or sexuality." Harrison told Google about her design. She said, "I dream of a future where everyone is safe and accepted whatever they do or whoever they are." And I couldn't help but notice the one with the cross on the chest is redheaded. I thought, that's cool. She's got the Celtic part of Christianity in there. So one of the ways we have been contributing to the rising of God's kingdom of peace here in this place is by reaching out to people of other faiths to foster harmony and understanding through listening and learning. So this next Wednesday, which is our last class of Love Your Muslim Neighbor, you all do have one more chance to learn from our class video and discussion. And for this grand finale class, we're so excited to have two guest speakers who will join us to share what it is like to be Muslim. The guest speakers are Mo, his real name's Mohammed, but he goes by Mo, and Aisha Jill Morgan. And they both live here in Santa Rosa. They're not a couple. They're both involved in the Interfaith Council of Sonoma County. But they literally are your Muslim neighbors. So in the course, my faith actually has deepened because as I have learned more about the Muslim faith, I discovered that they believe that Jesus will come on Judgment Day and be a sign of the end times. They also believe Jesus did not die, but that God took him straight up to heaven from the cross. And they, even though Islam reveres Muhammad because he's the more recent prophet, they say, the Quran contains many stories about Jesus too, including 6 miracle stories. And one is about healing the blind man that we read about last week here in this church. It's also in the Quran. They also believe that Jesus had the power of God and could not be touched by Satan. Isn't that earth-shattering? I didn't know any of this, so it's really amazing to me. Before the Love Your Neighbor classes and the panel discussion last week, I knew Muslims believed that Jesus was an important prophet, but I had no idea Jesus is mentioned so often in the Quran. So if you go to Google and search Jesus and Islam, you'll see page after page of the quotes from the Quran about Jesus. It's fascinating. And I'm looking forward to having Aisha and Mohammed here with us next Wednesday evening. So I hope you'll join us. Deeply listening, learning, and trusting promotes harmony within ourselves and among the family of God. We all will be better off if only we trust God is here with us always. God's goodness is at work everywhere, even in the midst of pain and suffering that will continue until the kingdom of God fully reigns on earth as it is in heaven. So this is the movie clip I wanted to show you last week from The Shack. And I hope that you can see it and hear, because it talks about trusting in God's presence despite the pain that we suffer and how that pain can blind us to God's presence. We'll turn down the lights.
You let my little girl, when she needed you most, you abandoned her.
I never left her.
If you are who you say you are, where were you when I needed you?
Son, when all you see is your pain, you lose sight of me.
When all you see is your pain, you lose sight of me. And I think that's something for all of us to remember, that God is there. If we can just look beyond the pain and see God is with us. Amen.